Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this third Sunday of Easter. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our musical director, Dave Valerio, and our youth pastor, Glenn Roundsville. So Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, people of God, you that stand in the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for he is gracious, and his love endures forever. Amen. Lord, we pray that you would be present with us by your Spirit. We know that you can still nourish us even as you provided for your first disciples. We know that every good and perfect gift proceeds from your hand. Remind us of that as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Glenn. We're going to have a brief mission moment today with a brief video, and I think that Gil wants to introduce that little video. Gil?
Gil, you are on mute, Gil. There we are.
Okay. Sorry, we had to change devices here quickly this morning. But listen, you'll see a 2.5 minute video that I discovered on the homepage of RIP Medical Debt. And I just thought in a very concise manner, it just explains how RIP works. So just be reminded, it's our April project, and we encourage everyone to give as you're able to. So enjoy the video, and then it goes right back to Reverend Carroll.
Over 100 million Americans, or 1 in 3, have struggled with the weight of medical debt, causing many to deplete their savings, turn to crowdfunding, declare bankruptcy, or worse, delay the medical care they need to stay alive. More than half of Americans say getting a bill they can't afford is as scary as a serious diagnosis itself. Our debt is killing us. But what if we could make that debt disappear? We're RIP Medical Debt, a nonprofit that has done just that, eliminating billions of dollars in debt for struggling Americans. We are working not only to shift the way we think about medical debt, but change the lives of people living in its shadow. So how do we abolish billions of dollars in debt without billions of dollars? By using the rules of the game, not to win, but to create a world where we take care of those who need it most. When you go to a doctor's office, hospital, or clinic, you might get a separate bill for every step of your care. If these bills aren't paid, they can be sold to a debt buyer for a fraction of what you owe. However, they will still attempt to collect the full amount owed from you. Some will add negative marks to your credit report, affecting your ability to buy a car or home, while others will even take legal action, resulting in wage garnishments and property liens. These actions used to leverage payment threaten the financial health of hardworking Americans who have this debt through no fault of their own. That's where we come in. RIP Medical Debt works with our partners to see through the chaos and find those debts that will be the most impactful when relieved. While we can't search for a particular individual's debt, we can filter them down to make sure we're serving the people who are least able to pay. With our donor support, we're able to buy millions of dollars of debt at drastically reduced pricing, which makes this disappearing act one of monumental proportions. But we don't stop there. We make sure any negative marks on credit scores for the debt we buy are removed. So not only can recipients forget their past, but they can begin to move forward. Our programs put no additional tax burden on the recipients and are compliant with HIPAA and the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And after all the behind-the-scenes work is done, every year we send out thousands of letters to homes all across the country, letting people know their past is in the past, their health is not a burden, and their life is worth more than a bill. And together, we'll cure medical debt.
Thank you, Gil. That really is a very important way to explain that. And it's really quite a unique kind of mission that we have going with them. So I hope that I remember to make a check out to the church for that as well. This is the time we share our announcements. Spring cleanup at the church building and CE building will be held next Saturday, April 24th. I'm sure the details are in the triad. Are there any other announcements anyone wants to make? Feel free to unmute yourself and make that announcement. Well, hearing no more announcements, Mr. Dave, please tell us about the hymn we're about to sing.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. The opening hymn was, "O Sons and Daughters, Let Us Sing." And it's one of those hymns that we never sing, that is in our hymnal. So it's I liked the tune, and the words are also very poignant. The tune we're going to sing right now, the hymn we're going to sing is "This Is My Father's World." If you have a hymnal, it's number 144. It's also down in the chat section. If you hit the chat section, you can find the lyrics there, and it was sent out by email. But it's down in the chat section. It's three verses. We're going to sing all three verses of "This Is My Father's World."
This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my shines in rustling grass, I hear him pass. He sings to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that the wrong seems oft so strong. God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad.
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that. This is the time we share our celebrations. We had a baptism last week of Karen Lynn Burt, the daughter of Haley Boss and Jason Burt. So we certainly celebrate that with Haley and with Jason and the whole family. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up?
Reverend Carol?
Yes.
I had the problem with my finger, my ring finger on my left hand. And the first thing they've done is they gave me a cortisone shot. Actually, after 3 days, it feels a little better. So and I've been able to move it a little more. So that was a good thing because it was kind of stuck in that position like bent. So at least now that's a good thing.
That's great. And we need our fingers for these keyboards when we're on a Zoom so much.
I do a lot of typing. Typing as chaplain to enter my reports and stuff. And also I found myself dropping things like left and right because I went to grab something and my finger didn't bend. So.
It's amazing how the littlest thing can impact our whole life. So good for you. Any other celebrations?
Yes. Okay. I would like to celebrate my brother's 24th birthday on Tuesday.
Great. And we understand you were with them via Zoom, right?
Yes.
Good. Good for you, Madison. Any other celebrations? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for all the people who are ill and any others in need of prayer for any reason, and we include these people today. We remember Loretta and Jennifer, Sue, who is getting through her treatments, Sandy Debo's grandson, Anthony. We pray for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, for Ed and his family, and it's good to have Ed with us today, for Marie, for Lee, for Jane and her family, and Brigida, for Len, who is at home in care of hospice, and his wife, Nancy, for Marge, who is Bob Avoyan's sister, for AJ, the Bishop Fian hockey player, who is in rehab still and working to try to get back use of his body. We pray for Tyler and for Caitlin. For those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Jackie, for Carolyn, and for Doris Brunel, I think that's her last name, who is now at Brookdale in Attleboro. And I'm sorry to have to say that Carol Doble passed away yesterday. She was at Sturdy Hospital and in the ICU, and she passed there. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Carol's family and there will be, we think, a funeral of some sort held at Dire Lake, but we'll try to get those details to you if that occurs. And that will be, of course, with very strict COVID rules in effect. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities as this pandemic continues. So please join with me in a moment of prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have created us in your own image, but too swiftly we lose our likeness to you. We gather in this time of worship and admit that our minds are often occupied by thoughts outside this place in your presence. There is so much to be done after this pandemic is over, and we are anxious, anticipating all that awaits us next. Help us to come into this place of worship and enable us to hear your still, quiet voice. Open us up to the revelation of yourself in our lives. Lead us in the way you would have us go. Keep us mindful that all people are made in your image and that we owe them their right to dignity and respect. Keep us faithful in your call for us to care for one another. Never be ashamed. Let us never be ashamed to call upon your name. Bless also all of those people whom you have mentioned today, that we have mentioned today, those who are ill, who are in pain, who are struggling with ongoing medical issues. And hear now in this time of silence, the names of people that are on our minds and on our lips. Gracious and loving God, close our mouths and open our ears. Move our bodies to do your will today and every day. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care.
Last week, we read the story of Jesus appearing to his disciples, all except Thomas, in the evening of the first Easter Sunday. He appeared again to the disciples a week later to prove his existence to Thomas, known as the doubter. Then we are told that he did many other signs in the presence of disciples to prove that he was the Son of God so that the disciples might proclaim that fact to others. Now we will hear of a third appearance following the resurrection. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Please hear these words. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. During a visit to a psychiatric hospital, a visitor asked the director how he determined whether or not a patient should be institutionalized. "Well," said the director, "we fill up a bathtub, and then we offer a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket to the patient, and ask him or her to empty the bathtub. Oh, I get it, said the visitor. A normal person would use the bucket because it's bigger than the spoon or the teacup. No, a normal person would pull the plug. Do you want a bed near the window? The Apostle Peter was not in any way a normal person. He hadn't been normal from the day Jesus entered his life. Now, that didn't mean he was crazy, although I suspect he felt that way from time to time. Peter was absolutely devoted to Jesus, but there were times when he simply did not understand what Jesus was doing and saying. And then there was the arrest and crucifixion. Last week on the Sunday after Easter, we learned that on the first Easter Sunday, the disciples were hiding in fear, and Peter had to deal with his denial of ever even knowing Jesus when approached by a servant girl in the courtyard outside the home of the high priest. And clearly, she was not an authority figure he needed to worry about. Most of you know that I'm a Red Sox fan, but I'm going to tell you a story about a New York Yankee. A really good player. His name was Mickey Mantle. I can't imagine that anyone here today doesn't know Mickey Mantle. But he told this story on himself once. It was about a game in which he struck out 3 times in a row. And if you knew Mickey Mantle, that did not happen very often. He said, when I got back to the clubhouse, I just sat down on my stool and I held my head in my hands like I was going to start crying. And then I heard somebody come up to me. It was little Timmy Berra, Yogi Berra's boy, standing there next to me. He tapped me on the knee nice and soft, and I figured he was going to say something nice to me, you know, like, well, just keep hanging in there or something like that. But all he did was look at me, and then he said in his little kid's voice, "You stink." Peter had been so strong with flashes of understanding. Peter was one of three who was with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration as he began his 3-year journey of teaching and healing and doing miracles. Peter had promised Jesus he would fight for him and even struck one of the high priest's slaves and cut off his right ear at the time of his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then came that question of the servant girl. You knew him. I saw you with him. Fear and confusion hit him, and he denied ever knowing Jesus. The disciples' heads were reeling from it all. These were events that human beings had never before experienced. Even worse, these events had exposed their weaknesses. Peter with his denial, Thomas with his doubts, the others with their fears and abandonment and hiding away. Even if Christ were alive, how could he ever count on them again? They had failed him just when he needed them most. That was it. They were depressed and they were ashamed of failing, much like Mickey Mantle. It was not that they doubted Christ, it was that they doubted themselves. I think you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever let someone else down or said something that you really regretted? And have you dreaded seeing them afterwards, not because they had particularly done you wrong, but because you had failed them? At a time like that, it might seem easier to let go of the relationship than to bear the shame of seeing them again. And I think that's what was going on with Peter. And so the disciples, 7 of them at least, Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and 2 other unnamed disciples, decided to take a time out at the Sea of Tiberias. In Matthew's account of the resurrection, an angel of the Lord had promised the disciples that Jesus would meet with them in Galilee. The Sea of Tiberias is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. And Galilee was their home. And that is often where we retreat to when we are uncertain. And there they were, back where it all began, by the sea, doing what they had been doing before. They were fishermen, so they were out fishing. But they weren't catching anything in their nets. And suddenly Jesus was on the beach. As usual, they don't recognize him. Jesus called to them and said to put the nets on the other side of the boat. And miraculously, the nets were so full of fish that they were afraid the boat was going to sink. And like Mary in the garden, Peter saw the miracle, heard the voice of his master, and impetuously jumped into the water to run to Jesus. And there on the beach, Jesus had breakfast ready. It would be the last meal they would ever share together here on earth. They didn't know that yet, but it would probably be the last breakfast. And the significance of this breakfast for Peter was probably the most poignant moment in Peter's life and ministry. I love the sacramental nature of the whole scene. Jesus was accustomed to serving bread and breaking it and saying, I am the bread of the world. And in the offer, Jesus knew of the deeper hunger that each of the disciples possessed. Hunger for truth, hunger for the love of God, hunger to know that this truly was Jesus risen and standing before them, and hunger for forgiveness. So just as he had offered himself to them every day of his earthly mission, just as he had offered himself to them from the cross, just as he had offered himself to them in the broken bread of that final Passover meal, Jesus once again offers himself to them as the bread of life. Across the charcoal fire of breakfast, Jesus begins a poignant journey with Peter, filled with questions and answers. Recalling their very first meeting, Jesus addresses him, "Simon, son of John, Simon bar Jonas, do you love me more than these?" What in the world is Jesus talking about now? Do you love me more than these? These other men that I'm with, do you love me more than that? Or do you love me more than these things, fishing boats, nets, the gear and all the stuff of fishing? Do you love me more than being home and out of it? Or did Peter love his previous life, which he understood better than what Jesus was asking? Which one was it of many more? Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, and three times Peter answered, "Yes, I do, Lord." And then when Peter looked across this charcoal fire and looked directly at Jesus for the third time, what he saw, I suspect, was different. He wasn't seeing loving disappointment in Jesus. What he saw was an invitation to come home to him. It was an invitation for forgiveness. It was an invitation back into the position of leadership for which Jesus had trained Peter. Three acts of denial, three acts of redemption across a charcoal fire. Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Jesus was offering reconciliation, forgiveness, and redemption. And in so doing, empowered Peter to be the leader he needed to be. Jesus is very clear about Peter's role of caring for the young flock of new Christians, of new little churches that would be springing up. Peter was to feed and nurture them through his leadership and faith. Peter was no longer simply the apprentice shepherd. Now the flock was his. Jesus was passing the mantle, just as the prophet Elijah had done to Elisha. "Feed my sheep," he said. "Be the good shepherd that I was. Be willing to lay down your life for the flock as I did." And in his confidence in Peter, it was not misplaced. Peter became the strong leader that was required to guide this fledgling church in which you and I now worship. And he did give his life for Jesus in the end. If Jesus could forgive Peter and make him the greatest leader of the Christian church, then we can rest in the assurance that he can forgive us anything and strengthen us for what is to come. May God help us to receive that grace. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, knowing that God is with us, creating, redeeming, and empowering, Go your way, confident that God loves us through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us today, and feel free to unmute yourselves and talk to one another.